Welcome to the Wellsteading Podcast. This is episode 118. It's June 9th, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. In today's episode, we're going to focus on what's going on in the stock market and in particular, the type of personality that we're seeing from this market. I think this will help you out in two levels. One, this is obviously a timely subject. It can help you as you start to formulate your trading decisions for this summer as to whether this market's going to fall apart or whether it's going to go on and make new highs. But I think the more important part of this discussion is going to be about overall market personality. Because a key to identifying trends is being able to identify a market's personality and then extrapolate from there what the likely future behavior is. Before I get started on today's topic, though, I do want to thank one of our listeners. His name is Eric, and he listens to the show in Belgium. Some of you have noticed and commented on the change in the logo design. Well, that's really has been a result mostly of Eric's efforts. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the podcast, and I planned on revamping the logo. That's really just something I threw together over the 4th of July weekend when I was starting the podcast, and I had to have something to submit to iTunes. The round circular nature of it really doesn't fit the square shape of most of the logos on iTunes. So as I say, I was getting around to fixing it, but marketing's really not my strong suit. So the long-term plans for the logo was to have more of a square design with a dark background and then the lettering with the podcast name and my name on it. And then not necessarily keeping the coin, but definitely keeping the image of the buffalo, because there's actually some great significance to that. But Eric in Belgium beat me to the point. I guess he got tired of looking at the logo. And although he was kind, he didn't say, hey, your logo really stinks. What he did was he just made an awesome design of the coin where it looks like the name Wellsteading and podcast are actually engraved into the silver. And then he submitted that to me and said, hey, if you like this, go ahead and use it. So that's what I've done. I've gone ahead and made the square logo with the dark background and I put the coin in the center. As I say, eventually I'll probably move away from the round shape of the coin. But for now, I'm very appreciative of Eric's efforts and the logo looks 1,000 times better than it did. Now with the redesign of the logo, don't go getting your hopes all up and thinking that I've gotten all uppity and I'm going to do something like create a theme song or use some kind of bumper music. I mean, come on, don't be ridiculous. If you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you know that from an audio perspective, I put the B in boring. But hey, if there are any of you out there that would like to submit a theme song for my consideration, I'd definitely listen to it. My thought would be something along the lines of like a Jimmy Buffett theme. But instead of the lyrics saying wasted away again in Margaritaville, it would be more like Wellsteading and build my net worth. Well, that speaks volumes to why I'm a money manager and not a songwriter. Well, let's talk about what's going on with this market. On the bad news side of things, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is not only negative for the year, but it's also hovering just above its 200-day moving average. Definitely not a good sign. The other two major indexes aren't doing much better. Although they're positive for the year, the S&P 500 is barely up 1.5% for the year. It's significantly below its 50-day moving average right now and has been down at that level for a couple trading sessions. The NASDAQ is up for the year, I think around 4-4.5%. That has a lot to do with Apple's performance, but it's still struggling. It's broken its 50-day moving average in intraday trade, and right now it's really struggling just to hover right above its 50-day moving average. So all the three major indexes are flashing cautionary signs. The bit of bright news in all this, though, is the fact that we're seeing very light trade volume. Now we are in June, and so we're getting into the dog days of summer. Trade definitely slows down during the summer. But the good news is that while the markets are showing all this negative price action, at least we're not seeing huge institutional selling. And we know that because when we look at the volume that's traded for each day, it's coming in very light, quite a bit below its three-month moving average. So that's a really good sign. Another good sign that the market isn't falling apart is the personality of this market. And as I mentioned when we opened this podcast, personality is what I really want to talk to you about today. Personality is a very important thing for you to be able to recognize if you want to be a profitable swing trader and be able to have pattern recognition and be able to identify trends. You'll see personality not only in markets and indexes, but in individual sectors as well as individual stocks. The economy, the stock market, it's not all about accounting and profits and loss and economic principles. I mean, all those things obviously play into it. The bottom line on why a stock is priced at a particular level is always based on the rational assumption around that stock's future value or around earnings expectations. But we know from market gyrations and the wide swings we see in prices of everything from commodities to stocks to bonds, that individual investors' opinions of value and future earnings and profit forecasts varies widely, and it generally goes, you know, from peak to trough, just from exhaustion level to exhaustion level. And so that swing that we see in the market, that pendulum moving back and forth, crossing the true nature of the value of a stock, where it swings too much high on one side and too low on the other, it goes from being overbought to being oversold. Well, that's not really because of economic considerations or accounting sensibilities. It all has to do with human nature. Human nature drives everything. If you want to try and forecast the market, you're better off using the skills of a psychologist as opposed to a CPA. So that's why it all comes down to personality. Every market has one, and the personality is just like a trend. There are short-term and near-term and long-term trends, same with personality. This stock market personality that we're seeing in 2015, and it really started somewhere around the middle to the end of December in 2014, so we've been on this for a solid 5.5 months now. This has been a personality where the market is traded for the most part in a very tight range. On any given week, the market fluctuates up and down about 3%. Occasionally, we'll have a pullback, and that pullback really doesn't seem to exceed much more than 5 or 6%. It'll break down and breach its 50-day moving average, and then within a few days or a week, it'll shoot up that 3 or 4% and go on to make all-time new highs. It'll stay there for a day or so, and then it'll reverse its pattern. We haven't seen a 9 or a 10% pullback since October of 2014, and we haven't seen a correction of 20% for 4 years back in 2011. That's very unusual for a healthy market. Right now, with the major indexes pulling back to their 50-day moving average and the Dow down to its 200-day moving average, a lot of us are thinking, hey, is this finally going to be the big pullback correction? We're going into the, you know, kind of the lackluster trading patterns that occur over the summer. Are we going to see a 10, 15, or 20% pullback? Well, I have no way of knowing. I would think just from an odds point of view that we are overdue, and that with the threat of rising interest rates and the lack of productivity in the labor market, the general overall high valuations that we see in the market, that it is likely that we would see a 10 or 15% pullback. However, my wishes and desires and my thoughts really don't mean anything. It all comes down to the fact of what the market is going to do, and based on this very habitual pattern that we see, the market may continue its personality and just hang in there with another 5 or 6% drawdown before it goes on to make new highs. Now, while my own gut feel and my rationality tells me this can't go on forever, it has gone on for a long time. It is the personality of the market. I don't like to argue with the market. This market hovering up and down around its 50-day moving average and not really having any breakouts either to the positive or to the negative side is not only happening in the U.S. We're really seeing this around most markets. China is really the only one that's had a spectacular performance. If you look at the European markets like Germany, for example, they are right now, I believe, just slightly positive for the year. They might actually even be, you know, right around that zero return for the year. And I'm talking about the German market corrected for the U.S. dollar. I'm not sure what the raw numbers are in Germany. All my money is in U.S. dollars, so I track everything in U.S. dollars. But although Germany got off to a fantastic start earlier in the year and they went up, I don't know, something like maybe 10, 15%, they're back down, and they, just like our Dow Jones Industrial Average, are struggling to maintain their 200-day moving average. That's not a good sign. A lot of this has been driven by the rising interest rates. Over the last week, we've seen some significant increases in the 10-year Treasury. I did just post a blog article over at my firm's website, investablewealth.com, that talks a little bit about interest rates and what's healthy and, you know, what's overheated and what's not. You might want to read that article. I'm not going to go into it here. Although interest rates are rising, they are still significantly off of really what you would expect the theoretical to be. We should probably be at a 10-year treasury rate of above 4%. Right now, we're right around 2.4, which again is significantly above where it was just 6 weeks ago. So that is having a dampening effect on the stock market. Anytime interest rates go up, that puts a drag on not only consumer spending, but also the cost of corporate borrowing. Historically, though, these rates are extremely low and they could still move up higher in a healthy economy. The real question is how healthy is this economy? What I think is the greater danger to the stock market is not the rising interest rates, but rather poor productivity. The big fear right now is that labor costs are rising And while you may think that consumers receiving a higher paycheck would be good for the overall economy, that only happens when those pay rate increases are offset by a higher increase in productivity. And that's just not happening. I think the last numbers that I saw pointed to the fact that we have not had any productivity increases since 2007. A lot of that can be blamed on stock buybacks. You see, since the Great Recession, with all the cash that corporations have on their balance sheet and the extremely low cost of borrowing, rather than corporations taking those low interest rates or taking the cash that they have on hand and going out and investing in new equipment or new factories, you know, just overall increasing their productivity, making their machines run more efficiently, giving their employees the tools to help them do their jobs quicker, faster, cheaper. Well, that really hasn't taken place. The only sector of the economy where we've really seen a growth in CapEx since this recovery has been in the energy sector, and that was primarily with shale oil. Well, we know what happened there. The productivity of drilling for oil was increased, but it resulted in an oversupply of oil and thus the collapse in oil prices since last year. But other than that sector of the economy, there really hasn't been any capital investment. There hasn't been a great deal of improvements in helping employees become more efficient. So that's the fear right now. It isn't so much the wages are going up, it's just that wages are going up, but corporate profits are stabilizing. So productivity is the real boogeyman. That's what I see as the big headwind or the big problem on the horizon that could make this market pull back and drop down 10, 15, 20%. It's just too early to make a call one way or the other. We have the markets decelerating. We have the markets dropping down or hovering around their 50 and 200-day moving average. We have the markets showing lackluster performance year to date. But at the same time, we don't have that huge amount of panic selling where all the institutional investors are fearful and are running for the exits. We also have some examples of really wide swings in stock rotations happening right now. If you remember the beginning of this year, the end of last year, transportation stocks were doing very well. I had taken a position back in October through December in transportations. We talked about that. They did very well. I actually got out early. They went on to make even farther advances from when I sold out towards the end of 2014. But that sector of the economy now, the bottom has just fallen out on it. Year to date, the Dow Jones transportation average is down nearly 10%. That's a big number, particularly for such an important sector as transportation. On the other hand, we've seen the banking and financial sector starting to do quite well. They were doing fairly well at the end of last year, but then they struggled in January. But since February, they've gone up almost in a straight line. Year to date, they're up over 8%. In the last month alone, they're up probably something like 6.5%. Now, the banks and the financials and the insurance industry, they're obviously tracking the rise in interest rates. So as the yield on interest rates goes up, that's bad news for people that own bond funds, but it is very good for people that own banking stocks. The question on the banking and the insurance industry is, will we really see these rate increases hold up? That's one of the things I mentioned in my blog post over at Investable Wealth. I point out that looking at the chart pattern of interest rates, although we've seen some strong action in the 10-year treasury, it's going to hit some serious resistance when it gets up to about 2.5%. And then that overhead pressure between 2.5% up to 3%, it just hasn't been able to break through that level. You have to go all the way back to 2011, 2010 to find the 10-year treasury trading at that 3% range on a consistent basis. Since 2012, other than a few small events when rates tried to break out and get up to that 3% level, they could just never get above it. So again, that's a personality of what we've seen with treasury rates. It doesn't mean that we can't break above 3%. It's just when I look at that chart and I see the nature of the way bond yields have been reacting in the short and near term and, you know, going back to 2011, there's so much overhead pressure and so much resistance at that 3% level. I would just be extremely surprised to see the 10-year break above 3%. I think it's more likely that it would get up to 2.75 or somewhere near 3%. And then when the fears start to creep in about the lack of productivity that I mentioned, higher labor costs for employers, the drag and the effect on corporate profits, that potentially could have the bottom fall out of the stock market and would consequently drive interest rates back down to around 2%. So as we get into summer, I think those are the things you want to watch. Keep your eye on interest rates. Don't pay so much attention to the employment rate. The media likes to hype that. What you really want to watch is the productivity rate. And then as always, don't ever take your eye off the ball, which is the price and volume action on the major indexes. the 50-day and the 200-day moving average are the telltale signs of the life and the health of the markets. So watch that. If prices start to falter and really break below those 50 and 200-day lines in high volume, then I think that would definitely point to a correction in that 10 to 20% range. That would be a welcome sign for people to want to buy in at the dips. If we saw the S&P drop below that 1880 range, and this is something I pointed out in a blog over at Investable Wealth a couple weeks ago, if we see the S&P this summer drop down to about 1880, that would put the valuation on the S&P 500 forward earnings at about 15 times. Right now, we're more like 17, 17.3. At 17 times forward earnings is not astronomically high, but it is historically high. It's definitely not bargain pricing. The S&P at 15 times would be a much better bargain, particularly for the long-term value investor. So for now, I'm keeping most of my powder dry, and you can bet that every day I'm watching the volume on the S&P 500, and we'll just have to wait this out and see if the market continues its personality where it breaks out here from its 50-day moving average and goes on to make a new high, or if as we get into the dog days of summer, it just breaks down and gets close to that buying opportunity of around 1880. Well, hey, that'll do it for today's episode. Until next time, as always, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.